This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Into the 9 o'clock hour we go, 9:09, and hearing that Pope Francis, and look, God bless him, man, because you know at 88, and having been through it with elderly parents that were very ill, it's hard to fight back from something like that and not just give up. Anybody that's been through knee replacements or any kind of thing like that that knows, or any accident, or you got to go through the rehab to get your strength back and everything else, and God bless him to do that. And he had a meeting today about new saints, and I'm just thinking, maybe Patrick Mahomes in a black and gold? That wouldn't be a bad idea. A couple of linebackers, corners, people can rush a passer. While you're at it, Pope Francis, if he can. Of course, we probably just kind of wandered into miracle range. But Matt Range joins us now, author of The Big Book of King Cake. How you doing, Matt? Happy Mardi Gras.
Yeah, you too. I'm doing great. I'm excited for some parades. How are you, Tommy?
I'm good. You know what I'm thinking? Kind of like, I don't know if I addressed this last time with you or not, but kind of like Kramer, but it would be a king cake book that actually is a king cake. What do you think? It's edible.
I think you might have actually mentioned this last time, because at least somebody did, and it seems like it might be something that you came up with. It's a good idea.
It does sound like something I would come up with, and again, the memory is not what it used to be, so maybe I did mention it, but and think of the books you'd sell.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah,
see,
I thought
because,
about doing like a king cake advent calendar or something like that in the month leading up to it, would be delicious also.
But if the book was a king cake, you would eat it when you finished reading it, and then you'd have to do what?
Buy another king cake book.
Tell me about your book, seriously, because it is, did you update it at all, and have you discovered any new king cakes? Tell me about your journey.
Okay, so the book is now in its fourth print run, so there were some kind of minor updates, but really most of my time, right, I'm creating the Big Book of Po' Boy right now, That's where most of my efforts are. I'm always trying new king cakes, and so definitely probably like, I don't know, 10 years from now, maybe I'll do a big update. But the book itself is kind of meant to be a snapshot of king cake in one specific time, and so it features 75 different New Orleans bakeries and the stories behind each of their unique king cakes with, you know, 1,000+ beautiful photographs, amazing stories about how each of these bakers and their own personal journey led to their unique, specific, original type of king cake. And so, for example, a Honduran bakery who, wanted to create some sort of Honduran version of Louisiana's king cake tradition, so put some guava and cream cheese inside. Or like the story behind Dong Fang's bakery and how their king cake, why it has those ridges, it's because she was a seamstress before she came to New Orleans after the Vietnam War. So there's lots of great stories in the book as well.
I kid you not, and I talk about Marie's French pastries, but I clicked on the Big Book of King Cake and I just clicked on an image and it turned out to be Jean-Luc Albin's page about Marie's French pastries, and you have a quote in there from him saying, if I was back in France and I could only make two types of king cakes, I probably would have changed careers. That's part of the story as well, right? About the different bakers and how they were inspired to do these kinds of things?
Yeah, exactly right. That's kind of what, so when I started creating the book, I thought it was going to be just a book about these beautiful cakes. It kind of, my personal story is that one year I was invited to a king cake party, and this was before I was a writer. I ended up eating 88 different kinds of king cake just in preparation to figure out which king cake I wanted to bring. And so I kind of carried that over into the creation of the book, thinking, oh, this is just about, like, look at these cool different kinds of king cake. But as I started to interview bakers like Jean-Luc, I was like, oh, my God, each of these bakers has such an incredible story. None of these, this sushi king cake, for example, or Jean-Luc's French style of king cake, they're all based on their own personal stories. And so I kind of got obsessed with that idea. And here in Louisiana, we're really, there are king cake traditions, and I talk about this history in the book as well, all across Europe, as well as in Mexico. There are, all of these different countries have a version of king cake, and they, you know, look a little bit like ours, but kind of different. They have different names, but it all translates to kind of cake of kings, roughly. But the unique thing about Louisiana king cake is we're the only ones who tie it to Carnival and Mardi Gras rather than Christmas. And we're the only ones who allow for this huge amount of creativity that other places kind of don't. They have their one traditional kind, and that's it. We have obviously our traditional kind, too. And I think it's really fun that we have this battle between, you know, traditionalists who love that Mackenzie-style king cake, and then people who are willing to kind of maybe try to evolve a little bit. And through that, I think we get a really fun season of king cake eating.
I saw somebody on social media the other day post a picture of the traditional dryer king cake with the phrase, warning choking hazard, which I thought was funny, however not very nice, but it can be kind of dry. When it comes to the Mexican type, I think I saw one of these maybe at Rouse's.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The beginning of the season with like a yellow, gold, and black icing or something like that. Does that make sense to you? They called it something besides a king cake, and it did appear to be in Spanish.
Oh, interesting. So in Mexico and Spain, it's called the Roscón de Reyes or the Rosca de Reyes.
That's what
which
was.
Again translates to Cake of Kings. And their tradition is so interesting. And so it's on January 6th and only January 6th, you know, the 12th night of Christmas, which is where our king cake used to be. The same thing in Louisiana. You'd only eat king cake on January 6th. But in Mexico, that's still the case. And they have a plastic baby inside the king cake as well. Here in Louisiana, there's a little bit of a debate about whether the baby is meant to be baby Jesus or not. Mm-hmm. In Mexico, it's unanimously agreed on that it's baby Jesus. And so you, whoever gets the baby inside the Rosca de Reyes, hangs on to that baby. And on February 2nd, which is, you know, in the Bible is when Mary would have brought Jesus to church for the first time. Mm-hmm. You are meant to bring baby Jesus to church on a day that's called Candlemas. And then you host a tamale party on that day on February 2nd. So it's kind of a different tradition, but same general idea.
What about just the history of this? Because for people, you know, we got people moving in the area all the time. They got people shipping king cakes all the time. And maybe we don't quite realize what it is that we're doing or how this all started. Give me the quick history of king cake, the 2-minute version, if you can.
Yeah, sure. And so it goes all the way back to ancient Rome. And so a lot of people say that king cake, they believe it began in France. The ancient Romans were doing something very similar, though it wasn't about Mardi Gras and it wasn't called a king cake. It was celebrating the Saturnalia, which was basically in the month leading up to December 21st, the winter solstice, which is when Saturnalia was celebrated. The sun was, in their viewpoint, the Romans believed that the sun was dying. You know, it was getting lower in the sky at its apex every day. The nights were getting longer, days getting shorter. But on December 21st, winter solstice, that all turns around. The sun is rising higher in the sky each day. Days are getting longer. And so they saw that as the return of the sun, S-U-N. And so that was worthy of a celebration. They'd eat too much, drink too much, wear colorful costumes, parade in the street. And in the middle of their feast, they'd have a cake that was round like the sun and circular like the sun. Think kind of like the galette des rois, the French version of king cake. Mm-hmm. And inside that cake would be a fava bean. And whoever got the slice of the cake with that fava bean inside would be crowned king or queen of the Saturnalia, similar to what we do now. You're crowned king or queen of your classroom or your break room, and you have to buy the next king cake. But in Rome, you didn't have to buy the next king cake. Rather, you were sacrificed to the gods. So it was a much higher stakes thing. That eventually spreads out around all across Europe. Christianity kind of takes the tradition over, and they make it about Christmas time, the 12th night of Christmas, and celebrating the three kings.
If you could use your imagination, because you've tried, how many did you different types of cakes have you tried total?
At this point, probably 300 and something, I would guess, something like that. Many, many.
So if you could create one of your own, going back to what Jean-Luc said, what would you like to see? Where do you see King Cakes going, Matt? Because you wrote you want to talk about the little book as well, but tell me, where do you see this going?
This is great. I've never been asked this question, the King Cake that I would create. So I'm a New Yorker originally, which makes people, gasp and frown sometimes. But, fell in love with New Orleans and fell in love with King Cake, and I've been here for 16 years. But, I loved three-color cookies. Were like my favorite thing, those rainbow cookies, which my mom would always have on Long Island around the holidays. And so I always said that I would want to make a three-color cookie king cake, maybe with that, flavoring inside and then maybe some three-color cookies on top. But then I saw this year somebody actually created it, this place, Balboni's King Cakes. They made a three-colored cookie king cake, and it's awesome. So.
Is it the same as like a black and white cookie? Because there you go. What about a black and white king cake, like a black and white cookie?
It's a great idea, and I've not seen anybody do that, so that's a really good idea, too. You're full of them today.
Yeah, I am. I'm full of a lot of stuff. Tell me about the Little Book of King Cake.
Sure. So the Little Book of King Cake, so basically I, for years, have taught this after-school program. And I teach these third graders and, creative writing. And so after I wrote the Big Book of King Cake, I brought it to them. I thought they'd be like, holy cow, Mr. Matt, you're the coolest guy. You wrote this book. But I forgot that third graders are pretty mean.
Yeah.
And so one of them was like, why would you write a whole book about king cake?
Really?
So I was like, okay. Yeah.
Seriously?
So I was like, yeah.
So you're
walking in
all full of yourself, feeling pretty good, right? I'm Matt Haynes. Yeah, Little Book of King Cake. I'll go ahead and read for the kids. Why would you write a whole book about king cakes?
I know. I got humbled, but then it kind of gave me the idea, maybe it's something that we kind of take for granted a little bit. And so I thought, let me write this kid's book about what makes king cake special. And it's the story of Miley. She's a third grader, and she gets the king cake baby at school. So she has to bring the next king cake, but there are so many different kinds. How could she decide which one to bring? In her dreams, the king cake baby gets real big, flies her around to 7 real New Orleans bakeries, and at each bakery, the king cake tells her kind of what makes their version of king cake special, whether it's tradition or the history or the special fillings and things like that.
One thing I did want to ask you about is, what do people tell you about the book? I'm sure you've gotten some feedback on it. The big book.
Yeah.
Or either one.
I've sold now, at this point, 23,000 copies.
Wow.
In the last couple of years. And so people seem to love it. It's fun. My favorite thing that I see some people do as they get really obsessed with it is they will take it around to all of the different bakeries and have the bakers sign them.
Oh, that's a good
idea. They kind of use it as a guide. And that makes me feel great, because part of the reason of the book is a celebration. A big reason of the book is it's a celebration of the city's bakers and their creativity. And when people use the book to celebrate them, that makes me feel really good.
Anything surprise you when you're writing a book, doing a research about the King Cakes, a genuine surprise or inspiration from a baker?
I mean, for me, the biggest surprise was just the unbelievable, history behind the cake. But then also, I think, as a journalist, it's something that I've really kind of adopted now as something that I think about when I'm interviewing people, is that just these stories, like the things that the Tran family from Dongfang Bakery had to go through before they started their bakery, or the things that Martha Gilreath at Nolita Bakery had to go through before she was able to start her bakery. She was addicted to drugs and homeless, and now she's on the Today Show and winning all these awards with her king cake. All of these amazing journeys, and how it's these stories that every single king cake has a story behind it. I was so surprising to me.
Well, and that's what I love about the book, because like you, I think everybody has a story. And if you ask the right questions, everybody's story is interesting. Really, everybody has an interesting story. Believe it or not, they do. Tell me about the Bow Boy book. How's that coming? And what kind of research? Well, first off, what size pants do you wear? You got to be like in a 48 waist or something. How do you handle all this?
When I just tried those 88 King Cakes, mm-hmm. I was single, and I just was like, oh, I'm going to only eat King Cake. Mm-hmm. And so, did you do the diet?
Did you do the King Cake and beer diet? Was that you or was that somebody else?
It sounds like what I was doing. It was basically, calorically, I was okay. Health-wise, I'm sure it was terrible.
That was you that was doing it. I remember that now. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah. And then when I did the book, and now with the Po' Boy book also, my girlfriend is like, maybe you should eat like a salad in addition to these King Cakes. And those extra calories are kind of really screwing me over here because I'm definitely gaining some weight. Also, I think my metabolism is getting slower.
Yeah, well, it happens as you get older. Matt, I hate to tell you that, but it does happen.
Yeah.
Maybe some aerobic activity too. You know, maybe hit the gym or something. Couldn't hurt.
I try to go for a jog in Ottoman Park most days, so that helps too.
Tell me when the Po' Boy book is going to come out, or do you have a date yet?
Yeah, it should be around November 1st. We're kind of in the home stretch. I was just in here doing some writing, before I jumped on here.
Before we run out of time, give me a preview of an interesting story you've heard in your research for the Po' Boy book.
Yeah, so like at Shortstop Po' Boys out in Metairie, it was such an interesting thing because I've heard this story now a couple of times that they were basically a grocery store before they became a Po' Boy shop. But and back when they were a grocery store, construction workers would come in and one guy would buy a French loaf of bread. One guy would buy a head of lettuce and some tomatoes. One guy would buy a can of mayonnaise. One guy would buy some cold cuts, and they'd all sit on out in the parking lot together and just put their po' boys together themselves.
No.
Now, as big grocery stores started to pop up, those smaller groceries couldn't really compete with them, and so that's when places like Shortstop started to shift to making their own po' boys and then eventually just becoming a straight-up po' boy shop. And so stories like that have been really fun to hear and learn about and put things into context for myself as I'm doing the book.
Everybody's got an interesting story. Matt Haynes, good at telling them. Matt, if people want to order a book, can they order from you and you'll sign it, or how does that work?
Yeah, absolutely. If they go to www.thebigbookofkingcake.com, you can order either of the two books, and eventually the Po' Boy book will be up there as well. And then there's an area for you to write down that you want me to sign and personalize, and I'm happy to do it before I ship it to you, or we can do like a local pickup or something.
That's awesome. It's thebigbookofkingcake.com.
That's right. Exactly right.
Thank you, sir. A pleasure as always. Happy Mardi Gras.
Yeah, you too. Talk to you soon, Tommy. Thank you.
Go run. 9:24, back in the flash with Dr. Judy Ho, clinical and forensic neuropsychologist. We're going to talk about a new recent survey showing a third of Americans felt burnout at their job in the past year. Have you, and how do you deal with it? Back in a flash, WWL.